Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
I've often thought about the things that we do in this life, thinking not just when we're 60 years old, but 100 years after I'm gone. What will the next generation and the generation after that, how will they be living? And will they be living as a result of their great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather's faith? So that our children grow up one day and say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. This is perhaps one of my favorite psalms that I have, especially because of some of the specifics that speak to our lives as believers, that speak to us in times of trial and struggle, that speaks to us as we submit to His Lordship, as we think about what God has done in our lives, and then to think about His presence and the things that He gives to us. Notice in verse 1, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you." I said to the Lord, verse 2, "You are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god, they'll be multiplied. And I'll not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my portion, is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You, O God, support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage, it's beautiful to me. I'll bless the Lord who's counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. And I've set the Lord continually before me. Because He's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, and my flesh will also dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. For you will make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever." What a great psalm to think about the presence of God and to be in God's presence and to know the fullness of joy, but also to know not only the face and presence of God, but the hand of God. You know, oftentimes I've heard people say, we're to seek His face, not His hand. I want to tell you, you seek everything about God. His face in His hand, because at His hand are pleasures forever. Amen. Now, one of these verses of Scripture that really pop out to me is the one in verse 6, I believe. Verse 6, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." You know, this past week I got to go home for a few days to spend some time with my dad and my mom, and I realized that this passage of Scripture speaks of me. I realized that I can stand up today and say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My heritage is beautiful to me. The heritage that my father and my mother has left me is a wonderful heritage. And as I come back from that trip and I think about the church that I grew up in, and the heritage that was given to me at those places by the people who spoke into my life. You know, when God created man, He created us as He created family, husband and wife, sons and daughters. When we fell, He comes along and creates us to be His children, Him as our Father. And so when I think of heritage today, when I think of a legacy today, I think of family and I think of church family. I mean, think about our own church here today called Cottonwood Baptist Church. Look around you today. Look around you what happens on a Sunday morning. And that is a heritage. If you bring your family and you're a part of the body of Christ, it is a part of the heritage that you are raising your children up in. You're giving your children a legacy as you speak into their lives and as the church also speaks into their lives. That's what church life is all about. So that our children grow up one day and say, as I am able to say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Now, I've often thought about the things that we do in this life, thinking not just when we're 60 years old, but 100 years after I'm gone. What will the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that, my great-great-great-grandchildren, how will they be living? And will they be living as a result of their great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather's faith? When I think about a legacy in the scripture, I think about the legacy of John the Baptist and his family. Turn to Luke chapter 1, if you would. In this passage of scripture, you have three principles that we want to look at today on what kind of legacy and what kind of heritage that we're called to leave our children. Notice chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abiha, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now watch, they were both righteous in the sight of God, and they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. And it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. The whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Wow, what a passage of scripture. I mean, here's an old man married to an old woman who have dreamed all their lives have a baby. And the angel of the Lord appears to him while he's doing a priestly thing, and God says, "Listen, your petition has been heard." Now, I don't know about you, but if I had made a prayer to have children from the time I was 20 years old, I think at some point I'd have stopped praying. Maybe at the life change moment, when it became literally impossible for my wife to have a baby. But here is years and years later, the angel of the Lord is coming and saying, "Your petition has been heard." And maybe he's scratching his head and saying, "What petition? I quit praying that years ago." When I think of this man, Zacharias, as a priest, and I think about what a priest does, and what does a priest do? He stands before God on behalf of men and women. He intercedes for people. He prays for people. And he has had a petition that I want to suggest to you that he hadn't prayed for in years. This hope has been deferred. This hope has been lost. There's no biological way, no biological possibility that this could ever happen to this man and to his wife. He says, "Listen, don't be afraid. This petition that you stopped praying years ago is now being answered." I want to tell you, I have great comfort in that. Don't you? Because I want to tell you this. I believe that to leave a legacy, you must leave, for your children, you must leave a legacy of intercession. And I'm going to say this, Mom and Dad, your priestly duty is to intercede for your sons and your daughters. That is a legacy. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Boy, I had a praying mom. My mom prayed for me." What did that person just say? That person just said that she has a legacy of intercession, that her mom prayed. You know what's interesting, though? I don't think I've ever heard someone say, "My dad prayed for me." And always the mama. And I think, what a shame. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, hearing and being a part of the prayers of a father for his sons and his daughter. To know that my dad prayed, that my mom prayed, to know that they interceded for our spouses long before you know to pray for your children's spouses. I mean, they were praying for godly spouses for us when we were children. They were petitioning God. They were petitioning God that the will of God would be done in the lives of their sons and their daughter. They would open Scripture and pray the Scripture for us. And I stand to tell you that the part of my legacy is a legacy of intercession, where my parents prayed for us. He was a priest and he prayed. And I want to tell you, you think that when this baby was born, they stopped praying for that baby? I want to tell you, they prayed for that baby. They interceded. And I would think that if there's a petition that he felt has gone unanswered, and all of a sudden, 30 or 40 years later, God's answering this petition, I want to ask you, what do you think that God can do with the petitions that you prayed 10, 15, 20 years ago that you seem to believe that it's done, it's over? There's no possible way that God can answer this prayer. But I want to tell you that we serve a God with great, not only just great possibilities, but he's the God who will do that which is impossible in your life. And that's what's happening here. An impossible promise for an old lady to have a baby. Now, he's heard it before. He's seen it. As a priest, as a Hebrew, he's heard the story of Abraham and Sarah. But here's this priest who comes along, and all of a sudden, his petitions are being heard. A couple of things here. Number one is, don't lose hope. Don't ever lose hope in the things that you pray for and ask God to do, because I want to tell you, God is at work. No matter what you see happening, no matter what's taking place in your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, or your great-grandchildren's lives, listen to this. We have prayed and we have placed seeds into the fertile ground, and we're asking God to make an increase in those prayers. And I want to tell you this. All I'm called to do and all you're called to do is to plant seed into water and to fertilize. And God is, it's up to God to cause the increase. Is that not right? It's God causes the increase. But we're called to sow. And we're called to water. We're called to plant in our children's lives. There's nothing that I can do or you can do to see that grow in their lives. It's God who causes the increase. I can only plant, water, and fertilize. God has to cause the growth. And I don't know what you go through today with your children or your grandchildren, but I want to tell you this, that God does answer prayer. He hears our prayer. And it may seem like it's deferred, and it may seem like it's late and coming, but I want to tell you, you keep moving with this kind of legacy. You keep planting this kind of legacy of intercession into those little ones' lives, even if that little one is 50 years old now. And I want to tell you, God will answer your prayer. You want to leave a legacy for your children, your grandchildren? Leave a legacy of intercession. Plant the seed and keep planting it. Keep watering it. Keep fertilizing it. It's how you leave a legacy for them. When I think about the priestly office, I think of Job, who prayed and interceded for his children. Go on and turn to Job chapter 1, if you would. Job chapter 1. Here's a family priest who interceded for his children. And it's just two verses. Verse 4, his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. That's his birthday. And they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Family priest. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. On the screen, Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. And who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he, and who died, yes, rather who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who is also interceding for us. Aren't you glad we got a great high priest who doesn't condemn, but he intercedes and prays for you according to the will of God? Now, I don't know about you, but it's really easy for us as parents, as human beings, to condemn before we pray. Because I want to tell you, if you pray before you condemn, you'll probably never get around to condemning. And we're called to pray. We're called to be intercessors, and we're called as priests of the living God. You and I are called priests. We believe this as the priesthood of the believer. That you don't need me to get to heaven. You don't need me to get to God. You get to go straight into the throne room of grace because of the high priest's work of Jesus Christ. I go straight into the throne room of God because of the one who intercedes for me. He is the intercessor. And to imitate our Heavenly Father, to imitate Him means in our walk, we are going to be people of prayer. We're going to intercede for our children. To pray to our living God. Praying, interceding. Being a people of prayer. And I think about David. I've been reading through 1 Samuel, and you know what David always did in his younger life? He always inquired of the Lord. He would say, and David inquired of the Lord, Lord, should I do this? And then he'd hear God say, yeah, go on and do it. And he'd go and do it, and he'd prosper. Let me ask you a question. Have you inquired of the Lord this week? God, what should I do with my daughter? What should I do with my son? What should I do as a husband? What should I do? Lord, in this circumstance, how must I speak? You know, I think that if we had this kind of this walk with God that says that everything that I go through and everything that I'm facing, I'm going to inquire of God. I'm going to intercede and petition my God to know how to act wisely and how to live wisely, especially as a parent. So we pray and we pray believing. We leave them a legacy of intercession. The scripture also says that not only were they priests, but the scripture says in verse 6, they were both righteous in the sight of God. They walked blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. The scripture speaks of a righteousness that we're supposed to have and supposed to walk in. And not only do we leave our children a legacy of intercession, but we leave them a legacy of righteousness. I want to remind you what righteousness is. Righteousness is the character or quality of being right or just. And at one point, the word was spelled right wiseness, to do the right thing. It's whatever has been appointed by God to be acknowledged and obeyed by man. It's the requirements of God. And we saw that the problem is that we're born in this world not right with God because of our sinfulness. We've not obeyed His word. We've not met the requirements. But for the most part, what He does is He uses this as a gracious gift of God to men, whereby all men who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into right relationship with God. Righteousness unattainable by obedience to any law or by any merit of man's own, but only on the condition that we have faith in Christ and in what Christ does. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, not one. But Paul says in Philippians 3:8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Jesus says that your righteousness must far exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. What was the righteousness of the Pharisees? Works without faith. A system that says, if I do this, do this, and do this, that I'll be right with God. He says, your righteousness must exceed that. And Paul speaks of a righteousness found in faith. And when you walk in faith and you put your faith in Christ, you leave your children a legacy of not only faith, but of righteousness. Theologians call that positional righteousness. I'm right with God. There's also the practical righteousness. Just as we see in this passage of Scripture of them walking blamelessly, they walked the walk out. And I've got to ask you this question today. Do you have that kind of righteousness coming forth from your life? Not on based on your own, but on the faith that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. To do the right thing. To leave a legacy of positional righteousness that says to our children, we are righteous by faith. But it's also this practical righteousness. It's where my life lines up with my position. It's where I walk in the obedience that God calls me to walk in. You know, I think about God laying forth His word, giving us principles, just page after page. And sometimes you maybe hear God say, you know, just simple things like, I want you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Or I want you to love your wife, husband. Understand your wife and honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Or wife, I want you to be to your husband as you are to the Lord. I want you to respect your husband. Or maybe you're in a job that dishonors God, or it's come to a point where it dishonors God. And so He says, I want you out of the job. Basic things like, forgive that person. I want you to teach that class. I want you to work with those students. I want you to get connected to the body. I want you to get rid of that filthy habit. I want you to get that thing that stinks out of your house. I want you to quit being critical. I want you to quit worrying about money. I want you in full-time service. I have a call on your life. Quit running. I want you on foreign soil serving me. I want your life. You've not given me your life. I want your marriage. You've not given me your marriage. I want you to clean up your language. I want you in my word daily. I want to meet you daily in prayer. I want your yes. I want you. The basic acts of righteousness based upon the love of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A legacy that says, my parents did the right thing. Weren't perfect. Yeah, there were seasons that it was hard. But I look at their lives, look at their overall life, and I see righteousness. A legacy of righteousness. We're interceding for our children, and we're living it before them. There's a third legacy that I want to speak to you about this morning. It's the legacy of vision and blessing. A legacy of vision and blessing. Look at verse 14 of Luke chapter 1. Notice what he says about this child. You'll have joy and gladness, and men will rejoice at their birth. You know, we need to decide now that your children are going to bring you joy and they're going to bring you gladness. They're not a burden. They're not a curse. But they're a blessing. They're a gift from God. They're a reward of the womb. Not a burden. They're to bring great joy. Our children are not to be joy breakers, but joy makers. And the question is as we intercede and as we pray for them and as we live the life before them, there ought to be an expectation in our heart so that we would declare what God declares about our children. I've got to decide that my child is bringing me and is going to bring me joy and gladness. Notice the next thing he says about John, verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he's saying to this couple, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. What is greatness? You know, 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 12 speaks of David's greatness before David did anything publicly. You know what the sign of his greatness was? He was a man after God's own heart. Much great in the sight of God. We must believe that they'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Notice what he says. He'll drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. In other words, what he says is that our children are to be such that no other outside stimulant would ever control them, but only be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. He will be great in the sight of God, and he will be filled with the Spirit, dependent upon the Spirit, nothing else in this life. Go back to the legacy of intercession and start praying that for your children and believing. The Bible says he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. See, I want to believe that not only will my children bring joy and gladness, that they'll be great in the sight of God, that they'll be filled with the Spirit of God, but I want to believe that they'll be fit for ministry. And so John the Baptist's ministry will be like this. He'll turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord his God. It will be a ministry of repentance and freedom. He'll go and he'll speak repentance and people will repent. It will be a ministry that will introduce people to Jesus Christ. Scripture says, it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel who is speaking to Luke is actually quoting a verse out of Malachi 4:6. It says that this great day of the Lord will come, and this one who comes before Jesus will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. John the Baptist, vision. Be a ministry that introduces people to Christ. It'll be a ministry that builds family relationships. You know, I love this because you say, that's for John the Baptist, not our children. But can I tell you what Jesus says about John the Baptist? He says, among men, among women, there's never been one born greater than John the Baptist. But I say to you that he will be least in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. In other words, the standard, the greatest that had ever lived, he says, up to this point, in heaven, he'll be least. I just tell you, that gives me great vision. It always has great vision for what God can do in our children's lives. Great vision. Great vision.
Do we believe that God can do these things? Listen, they go through heartache. They go through struggle. They go through rebellion, just as we all do. But will I believe that the petition that I pray before God and the life that I live before Him and the vision that God has given to me, that one day I will see my children walking the way they must walk? I want us to hold on to that today. Because you can leave that legacy no matter what your children choose to do. You can still leave this legacy. It's a legacy of vision. It's also a legacy of blessing. I'm going to close with this. So turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 76. We'll close with this morning. Verse 76. Zacharias makes this prophetic word about his son. And this is what he says about him. He says, "In you, child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our way into the way of peace." Prophetic word was a blessing. This is who we believe by the power of God, you will be. You, child, will be this. You, child, will be a blessing. You, child, be a prophet. You, child, have a special gift at this. You, child, have a certain sensitivity to the things of the Spirit. You, child, God desires to use for the glory of God. We're going to believe that today. So that they grow up not wasting their life running after the things of this world, but making a difference by running after the things of God. And I'm just saying this, would you just pray? Would you just do the right thing? And would you just take on God's vision for our children, for your lives? And will you just bless them? Will you just bless, give them words of blessing? A vision and a blessing, to speak these kinds of blessings so that one day our children rise up and they bless their mother and father and they say, "My heritage, it's beautiful to me. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places." I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Lord, we'll let you do the rest because we can't do the rest. I pray for a heritage today, a legacy, to know that if the Lord tarries and our children continue to have children, that when we're dead and gone 100 years from now, we have great, great, great grandchildren following after you. Because we made some specific decisions. Lord, I just ask that you'd come and you'd speak to us, that you'd move into our lives in a mighty way today. And we'd look not just to 50 years from now, but 150 of what you desire to do in our lives. Father, you say we reap what we sow. And some of us have sowed to the wind. But today, Father, we sow to the Spirit, to begin to plant the good seed to the fertile soil, to believe an increase for our family and our family line. Oh God, come, Lord. Let us not miss you. Let us not miss what you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man knows.